Welcome to the first episode of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast in 2024. Happy New Year, Javi.
Happy New Year, Frankie. Everything is all right. I'm channeling, you see by my looks, I'm channeling my inner Marco Bellinelli because he's playing amazing. It's unbelievable the way this guy plays at age 37. And he has become my favorite player to watch. Me being a former shooter.
A former shooter, yes.
Yeah, I mean, a very low level, but... I wonder what shooting coaches do about this guy because his feet never point to the basket. I mean, it's unorthodox, let's say, but he's so effective. He's so good. And Virtus is playing so well. It's such a delight to watch this team, really.
Well, we will be speaking about some players on Virtus today during the podcast. There's a lot to talk about. We're starting the second, not just the new year, but the second half of the regular season going into round 18. We've got 17 rounds behind us. We're going to talk a little bit about who've been the best players, the fantasy MVPs of the first half of the season, a double week, always challenging. And at the end of this double week, unlimited trades.
And another double week because it's the first
Correct.
Time
that's right.
It's the first time in Turkish Airlines EuroLeague history that we have back-to-back double round weeks, which is a first for fantasy. And that's why we put unlimited trades at the end of the first one. So people can actually regroup a little bit because it's going to be, I think, probably the most 2 week period in terms of the most demanding 2 week period in probably in fantasy history. We never had anything like this before.
It could be that some championships and private leagues are decided in these next 2 weeks.
Totally. Totally. Could be ours. We're in a,
it could be.
People don't know, but we're in a private league that is very competitive with another team because my team, I like, that's one thing I want to, before we get into business, I think that the fact that people have a good team to follow like yours and a struggling team that is trying to get better gives people different perspectives, and that's good for the podcast. It's not that I did bad on purpose. I didn't. But now that we're in this situation, I'm always better in the second half of the season. Let's see what happens. I'm never going to catch up, but the different strategies are going to be interesting for fantasy managers, I think.
I just want to say for the record, I would have respected it if you said that you tanked the first half of the season for the podcast.
But I didn't. I got to be honest. Okay, well, a lot of players switch teams and they are able to play now in round 17. But I don't know if I would go for any of them, but the only one I would consider is Shavaz Napier because he played for Milan and he played so well last season. He knows everything about the team. Some of his former teammates last season are back, all the stars, same coach. That's the only guy I would trust right away in round 17. But what do you think about the others?
Round 18. I agree. I think we all know that he's the guy who's going to step right into a big role. One of the others is Kevin Pangos, who leaves Milan. Napier steps into that role. There's minutes there. He knows the system. He's got the trust of the coach. So I think he's someone who I like right away. Some of the other guys, I think it'll take a little bit of time. But I think as time goes, we'll see. Ante Zizic have a bigger role at Virtus. Mm-hmm. Kevin Pangos will have a bigger role at Valencia. He's a former All EuroLeague player, and I expect that it wasn't the right fit in Milan, but I think over time in Valencia he'll have a big role. I don't know how big I am on Nazmi Trulong for fantasy purposes. I think Freddie Gillespie will have to see how his price shakes out in a couple of weeks. He could be a number two center. Those are the big guys. There's another player who's interesting, who's not switching between EuroLeague teams, but joined the team, and that's Nikola Topic. Mm. And I'll keep an eye on him also these next few weeks. You talk about Bellinelli, who is 37. Topic is 18. It's the other end of the spectrum, but he's a very talented player who could have some fantasy value.
Well, about Mitrulong, he signed a long contract. He's Greek, has a Greek passport. And I think that the one reason why we're not trusting him is because Ignas Bradiakis is not doing well in Olympiakos. We all thought that Bradiakis is going to be one of the moves of the season. He's not playing well so far. I think he will at some point, and I'm sure he's going to be a big part of Olympiakos in the future. But the fact that Bradiakis didn't adjust right away is kind of slowing us down when it comes to Mitrulong. But I think Mitrulong eventually will catch up and be a very important player for this team, maybe not even this season, but he signed a really long contract, so he could be very important in the near future, or but we'll see.
I think that he could be very important, but for as far as fantasy's value, the Olympiacos, the Reds as we call them, are often a red flag. Shaq Mckissic has a very important role there, but he's not always a fantasy player. You got burned recently at center there, right? Didn't you have a game where when Mustafa Fall went off, and who did you have
I
who
had
played 1 minute?
just Nebo and James Nnaji. They weren't 0-0.
No, you had another week where you had somebody Olympiacos who played 1 minute.
Ah, Milutinov, yeah.
That's right. Yes. So that's the Olympiacos is out to win. They're not worried about our fantasy teams. I think Nazem Djerlang could have an important role, but as far as fantasy, I don't know if he's a player I'd run to pick up.
Yeah, well.
Also, while we're speaking of Olympiacos, I will tell you that it did just come across. We got an email that Thomas Walkup is questionable this week.
Whoa.
And I would tell all our followers to check up on that this afternoon. We're going to release this on Tuesday afternoon, so before the teams are finalized Tuesday evening. If he's out, then go grab yourself some Nigel Williams-Goss.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep in mind that we update the fantasy report with official information from the clubs as soon as we get him. So the injury report on EuroLeagueNet is the one place to be when it comes to injuries. And if we know and the clubs tell us, we'll have it over there always. And it's the best source to, well, to avoid zeros and to avoid did not place, let's say. So check it out. That's what happened to me last week, actually. In round 17, I saw that Hesonja wouldn't play because he didn't even travel. He had the flu. And that made me, reconsider my team in the end. I was, let's say, not I wouldn't say lucky, but I put Alpha Diallo. I had one only player from round two, from the second turn. And I had to force him into the team captain because my captain was, I think, Wilbekin or no, Musa. And we'll talk about it also. But Diallo had 50 points and saved my week, basically. I mean, I got a little bit lucky. Why did I have Musa?
Well,
Because.
I wouldn't say lucky because I did recommend him last week in the fantasy tips article. Diallo was one of the five players I chose, so.
But I mean, what happened was very funny because I had a better team. But on Twitter, somebody even told us, how about Musa? Because Dek and Hesonja are not going to play. What do you think about Musa? And I was like, oh. This is a great idea. Let's put Musa as the captain in all my teams. And I've been struggling. So don't listen to people. Just follow your own thoughts, analyze. But don't let the devil get into your mind because it can be dangerous in fantasy.
So let's talk quickly about the first half of the season. Who are your fantasy MVPs?
Playlist Shane Larkin. He's been playing pretty much at the same level as before the pandemic. I would say Mike James also. He's been fantastic. And of course, my MVP personally has been Toko Sengelia, who has saved me from, well, fantasy misery so many times. So I will give the MVP to Sengelia, but I think that the best player in fantasy has been Shane Larkin. What do you think?
So the player who's gained the most, who if you had him week one and went the most, is Taras Sedekerkis, who there's three players who've been absolutely excellent this year, who started the season at less than 10 credits. He's one of them. The other one is Johannes Thiemann, another one is Alec Peters. And all three of them have been on my team for many weeks and given me some big value. I've gotten a lot of points from them. And the difference between them and guys like Larkin or James or Toko is just that their price point started off lower and continues to be a little bit lower, even though they've been outstanding. So I think those are the three players. I've had all five of the players. I don't think I've had Toko. If I have, it's only been a week or two. But of the rest of the guys you've mentioned, they've all been on my teams and they've been excellent. Peters is the one who's made me more nervous lately, again, because of Olympiacos. Once they signed Petrušev, I thought that he would eat into his minutes, but he hasn't.
No,
He's been
he's been playing amazing.
right. But yeah, these are the guys who I think have made major difference makers for the best teams in the first half of the season.
I would add another name, which is Dinos Mitoglou. He's been amazing.
Yes.
He took the opportunity of seeing more playing time at the four because of the circumstances. Hernan Gomez injured, Papa Petru injured. And he stepped up big, and I think one of the reasons why Panathinaikos is ranking so high in the standings is because Mitoglou has been amazing, shooting threes, rebounding, and overall playing really well.
So now we have to see who the best players the second half of the season are going to be.
That's going to be interesting.
But
I'm
we'll be
not.
talking about this every week. Who to get?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go into the double round. Are there any teams that are playing back-to-back games at home?
Yes, there are five of them, four of them, sorry, four of them, but one of them is Fenerbahce, and their second game will not be in Istanbul. It's technically a home game, but it's on a neutral site in Lithuania. The four teams that the three teams that are actually home twice are Olympiacos, Valencia, and Barcelona.
But Barcelona plays against Madrid, and it's going to be a difficult game, let's say, for everybody who plays Madrid right now.
Yes.
Remember, Madrid is 16-1 and looking very good in every game. So maybe Valencia and Olympiacos are the teams to follow if you want to go for teams that go back to back at home, right? Because Partizan plays the derby, and the derby is always unpredictable, also.
Right. At least Partizan doesn't have to travel. They don't play two home games, but they don't have to travel, which helps a little bit. Yeah, there's a lot of tough games to consider. Why don't you tell us you know more about the Clásico than anybody else? How do you feel about picking players from Clásico?
Well, I would say that Tavares is on a roll. He played really well in the EuroLeague and in the Spanish League, and he always plays better. Remember, he had a PR of 39 in the Final Four against Barca. So Tavares will be my number one choice, hands down. I think he's going to play well. And I think that in some reasons, I mean, him and Poirier are playing really well, but I think Tavares is made for the bigger games, and this is a big game. No disrespect to Vincent, who has been amazing and probably may have a higher PR than Tavares any given night. Who else? Well, Hesonja is always an interesting choice because he plays for Barca and now he's at the prime of his career. So I would say those two. And in Barca, obviously, Vesely knows how to play against Tavares and could be an interesting choice over Hernan Gomez and over Nagy. But those are my picks.
All right, I respect those picks. I have to say, I was nervous about Tavares. I'd already tentatively dropped him from my team, but now you've given me some confidence that maybe I should go back and re-pick him up.
No, Tavares, I mean, I have him on my team and I'm not intending to sell him. He played really well, like I said, back-to-back games. And my only doubt is what to do now with the guards, because like you said, World Cup is questionable. Dozier is flagged as questionable also. I don't know why, but that's the way I saw him in when I checked. And I have to see what I do with my team, but we'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be.
The team, there's several teams that are on the road for both their games. Monaco, Panathinaikos, which is playing twice in Spain at Baskonia and then at Valencia, Bayern, and FS, which is also twice in Spain at Valencia and then at Real Madrid. Are those situations that you'd want to avoid?
Not really. I think FS. We go back to the same discussion that we go every week, but FS with so many injuries, less and less. But so many injuries, the key players are clear. The fact that they sold Cicic to Virtus means that they're going to trust Dan Oturu really, I mean, a lot. And Oturu all of a sudden becomes a very important player in the game. And of course, Larkin is going to, I think he's looking forward to the challenge of playing against Chris Jones and Kevin Pangos in his first game with Valencia. And these two players I would consider very much. It's going to be, I think, one of the keys to this round.
Almost every week we tend to bring up the FS center situation one way or another, and I think Oturu has become the go-to guy. He's been the last three games has just been absolute monster games. He's shooting well over 80%. He's rebounding, blocking shots, 20 something PR on average in those three games. This is a tough week matchup wise, because the two teams he's playing at and play at well, Madrid has an excellent defense. Valencia plays at a slower pace. So those are not teams that give up a lot of PIR. This is, I think, the week we find out if Oturu is matchup proof. If you can roll him out there every week and not worry, if he is, then he's a star and everybody has to get him. I've gone back and forth. Right now, I have him and I don't have Tavares. The question is, do I want to roll the dice on Oturu now? Is he that good? Is he going to be a second half of the regular season fantasy MVP and I should have him now or not? Same price. Also, I could have Caboclo, roughly the same price, or I could go back to Tavares. That's where I'm thinking right now for center. With right now with Berutis as my backup center, who's also played very, very well over the last three games, three rounds. But new coach Jalgiris, and we don't know how that's going to play out either.
Yeah, that's one of the fantasy keys for this week. Also, how Trinquir is gonna, who Trinquir is gonna rely on? I would say that he will go for experienced players who know how to hustle. In that case, Ulanovas and Smits will be favored, and also Keenan Evans. I think he's gonna give the well. He already had the keys to the team, but even more so now with Trinquieri. We'll see. But these three players are on my radar right now, and I gotta follow them closely.
What else are you looking at this week? What do you think people need to look at and be prepared for?
Well, Voigtman was MVP, and this is interesting because I think he can play the four and the five. I think playing at the five against Olympiacos, he can bring both Milutinov and Fall out of the paint with his 3-point shots. Playing at the four, he can be mobile enough to put Peters into trouble. I like his chances. The problem is that Voigtman is a little bit up and down, but then Milan has been able to win three of the last four without Shields, without Mirotic, and without Maudolo. And that I like a lot. I like Voigtman this week, and it's going to be one of my signings. I can tell you right now.
The inconsistency there has made me nervous. So he's not a player who I've gone to pick up, but I can't argue with those who are, because he comes off a monster game and the opportunity is there. But over the last 3 weeks, I was looking at him. The minutes have been the same, just the performance is not. And Olympiacos can go the other way also, right? If they put him at the five, he could get, have to bang with some bigger guys. At the four, he's going to have to chase Peters. So while I do like, I see the potential for a good matchup, I also see the potential for him not having a very big game. So personally, I'm going to stay away from him. And where I'm lucky is that if I'm wrong, we'll have round 19 after that, so you won't be able to remember it by the time we tape the next podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can see my team right now because we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to speed things up. I chose Jelko Obradovic as a coach because playing at home, I don't think they're going to lose twice. They play as well. They went on a six-game winning streak, and they lost against Virtus. I don't see them losing again against as well. I traded Musa. I traded Miller McIntyre, who was a last-minute addition who didn't go very well last week. And I traded Cestina because I can upgrade a little bit to a different player. That different player is Elijah Bryant, who I think is going to see a lot of minutes without Clyburn, and he's going to be on my bench for a while. And the two players I'm signing are Wittmann and Grant of Panathinaikos, Jerian Grant, former EuroCup MVP last season, reigning EuroCup MVP. He had a very good game last week. I think he can play well against Marcus Howard and Cody Miller-McIntyre. So I'm going for Grant, Wittmann, and like I said, Elijah Bryan. These are my three choices.
Okay, and we'll put my team up here. And you'll see I cleaned out at center, and I went the two guys who I'd spoken about before. As of now, it's Berutis and Oturu. And then I'm going like you with Coach Jelko. I think it's a great matchup. They already played very well at Dazvel. Now they're playing them at home. And the only other move I'm making is I'm bringing I was looking the last couple of weeks to get rid of Gudrytis from Žalgiris. I don't know what to expect there, but the last couple of weeks it's just been dead weight. And I went for Marinkovic, Vanya Marinkovic from Baskonia. So those are my moves for the week. I've mentioned all the centers I'm considering, and I also want to see if for sure it turns out that Walkup is not playing, I may do an about face and move somebody around and pick up Williams-Goss. It's tough. There's not a lot of time to decide these double weeks starting Tuesday. We got to make some quick decisions, but there's a lot of value out there.
We'll see. I have three Panathinaikos players, which I don't like a lot, but it is what it is. One more thing before we go. We're on YouTube. Okay, we are also on Spotify. But if you're watching on YouTube, leave us some comments. We are delighted to read them and to answer them. And we want to improve. And only by knowing your opinion, we'll get better. And that's the goal of this podcast, to get closer to you guys and well help you out doing the your teams.
Of
So
course.
yes, you can reach us on Twitter also. Frank is Mr. EuroLeague. I'm Ganchetto with double T, and we're pretty much there all the time. So just catch up and we'll be there.
Absolutely. And with that, good luck this week, rounds 18, round 19, and we'll be back a week from now.
Yeah, see you then. Bye.